I don't know whether to just be quiet or to say, right there, that's the business. That's the business. And we had all three of the Pointer sisters up here at once, so I'm just totally stoked about that. Thank you. You can be seated. My name is Britt. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm part of the teaching team here. And on behalf of our staff and our elders and CRM and all of our volunteers, we're just really glad that you chose to be with us this afternoon, evening, right there on the edge. Don't know what to call it. I called it afternoon earlier, but what is it now? Anyway, I'm already confused. But we're just really glad that you chose to be with us. And we hope that what we share tonight in song and in the word is going to bless you. And it's going to bring you closer to God and help us focus on what this season of the year is all about. So I got a question for you here. Like, what do you really want for Christmas? The reason why I ask you that is because getting ready for this little sermonette, I started thinking about that, like over the years, kind of the evolution of Christmas for a kid. You know, first you go from all you want is toys, 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 nothing but toys. Every once in a while, someone throws some clothes on you, and you're like, oh, that's a bummer. Socks and underwear from grandma again, you know. And then eventually you come into a season where you're like, yeah, clothes. It's kind of weird, huh? And then I started thinking about all the toys and all the stuff that I just thought I really wanted, and when I got it, it really didn't deliver. In fact, there were so many toys that I think were so lame that their success was totally based on genius marketers to come up with some things like, you're really going to love this, like electronic football. Who had that electric football set? Anybody had that? Okay, is that the most totally useless game ever devised? Some of you youngsters, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a lot like PlayStation. So what it was like this metal surface, and you had these plastic football players that came in two colors, and there was a little football. It was a little felt football, and you could even actually have the quarterback throw the ball, click his arm back, and there was really no point to that in the end. But you'd line up all your players, and then you'd turn the switch on, and then the thing would vibrate. And the guys would just go all around, and there's no strategy. No matter, you could set up, I dive right, and it doesn't work, you know. They just go wherever. The only time it was actually fun is when you were playing your younger brother or sister, and you would just kind of tip the table without them understanding what you're doing, and you could cream them every time, whether you're on offense or defense. So somebody after the first service today told me there's actually a club or a group where they get together and they play electric football. So these guys must drink very heavily, that's all I can say. Or it should be institutionalized. I'm not sure which it is. But anyway, that was a pretty lame gift. But I did think of like one gift that was amazing. And it was a Stingray bike. Anybody here had a Stingray bike? Okay, keep your hands up. Put those hands up. So keep your hands up if your Stingray bike had the slick on the back, the fat, slick tire. Okay. Youngsters, like, just let us old people have a little time here in the service. Okay, keep your hand up if you had banana seat on your Stingray. Keep your hand up if you had the sissy bar behind you. Remember what the sissy bar was? Okay, now this eliminated a lot of people in the first service. How many of you had a shifter? And he had gears, okay? Mine had gears. And those of you should know, it's like you could get in 3-speed or 5-speed, and the shift was right here, right where it can impale you when you crash. And I'm not sure they went away because of unpopularity or because there were so many lawsuits through OSHA, but it was like so much fun to get eviscerated on Christmas Day, you know? And you're like, hey, Stingray, right? Have that big scar where they tucked your intestines back in. But anyway, that was a good gift. So what if tomorrow morning you woke up and under the tree you found love, joy, peace, and hope? And all the fourth graders go, what a ripoff, right? The reason why I ask you that question is over the last 4 weeks here at Sunridge, we've been celebrating Advent, and each Sunday we've taken one of those words, love, joy, peace, hope. And they're more than just great words that appear on, you know, ubiquitously on Christmas cards. They're really meaningful words. In fact, these words have meaning to us, but I would say that life without that is pretty much meaningless, right? It's like very, very powerful. More than words, they're thoughts and maybe even longings for all of us. Through this celebration of Advent, what we've recognized is these longings culminate in the person of Christ. And I want to read to you from Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. I'm going to read from Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Can you imagine what that was like? And ever since this season, of which this writer Luke records this story, something happened in the world. Like there was a click. It wasn't like a ratchet all the way around to like everything's good, but like something clicked in the world that put more in alignment, more in sync than ever had been before. It was the birth of the Messiah. Will you pray with me? God, those words mean almost nothing to many people who walk this planet, and yet those words mean everything to those who acknowledge and recognize Christ is the Lord. Focus our thoughts right now and help me to convey what you want me to say here in a way that people can understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for that amen. You know, it's not that Jesus came so much. That was important. It is why he came that's so important. And we know why that is, right? Why did Jesus come? So that we could have Santa. You guys okay? See, the things that really matter to us, like love, joy, peace, and hope, they're found in Christ. See, the scripture says that God is love. He's the very essence of love. And that there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, whom though we know him, we don't see him, yet we believe in him. And we are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For he, that is Christ, is our peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because this Christ in you is the hope of glory. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you. But here's the rub. Not everybody's feeling it, right? I mean, there's something out of sync. It's like, yeah, we know that. Christ is hope, joy, love. peace. He's eternal life. Yet we know that the world isn't right. In fact, the world is really short on love, joy, peace, and hope. So that kind of sounds like a match made in heaven to me. I don't know. The truth is, we can get beat up by life. We get betrayed. We get divorced. We get fired. We get abused. We suffer loss. We're forgotten. The big plans that we dreamed about don't pan out. The mistakes that we made carry on, and we carry them through our whole lives. And somehow, this kind of nagging on us, it takes all the idealism and it kind of leaks it out of us. So that buoyant way in which we're to live sinks. Sometimes that happens in one massive, devastating knockout punch. Bam! But mainly, the way we lose our buoyancy is like a boxer who gets body punched through the whole fight. And he's in the 14th round. And no single punch is taking him out. But the accumulation of all that pounding makes it impossible for him to go on. And the holiday season can magnify this. At a time when everybody's talking about love, joy, peace, hope, and family, and there are many people walking around that they don't have that. Sometimes the pain that we experience in life comes from the people that we love the most. For some of you, you've come into church tonight. It might have been a long time since you've been in church because your pain came from the church. So what happens is we kind of check out on life. And you know, you're still walking around like you're alive, but you're more like zombie alive. It's like you're dead inside, but you look kind of alive. But the truth is you've actually stopped living. We recoil from life, from people, and sometimes we even recoil from God, because after all, ultimately, it's his fault. So then all those things that we cared about, that we were so enthusiastic about, don't really matter anymore. And that career that I was like just pinning it on, and you hit a few glass ceilings or someone takes advantage of you and you're over that. And then even in our spiritual life, like we lag, and that enthusiasm and that hunger for God, it just kind of drains out of us. Those of us that are married, we go home, and that person that we could not imagine living without, really deep inside, we're like, just enduring. Basically because we get knocked around a lot. We get bruised. And over time, we develop this crust, kind of an impenetrable barrier that doesn't let anybody in. I wonder if there are people here that on Christmas Eve, when I talk about love, joy, peace, hope, you think, peace? I don't have peace. You could describe my life with stress and anxiety that I can't cope with unless I use medication or alcohol. You hear people talk about joy, and you go, I don't have joy. You look deep inside me, I got a lot of anger because I've been hurt. People have wronged me, and I can't get over it. Talk about hope, and you don't feel hope, you feel despair because the things that you dreamed about, you know, they're not coming true. And life keeps clicking away, and it's not going to happen. And when I say love, and your heart isn't love, it's cynicism. I mean, it's not only can you not give love, but you don't know that you're even capable of receiving love. If you're here and you're finding yourself short on love, hope, joy, or peace, on those things that really matter, I want to remind you of some words that Jesus said. And he said them to just people like that. Not people that have it all together. He said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me. Because Jesus said to his followers, I might have died, but I conquered death. And I know. In the Christian faith, we get that. Yeah, I got eternal life. Yeah, I know Jesus can conquer that. But my real question is, can I get kind of a daily soul resurrection from God? Or am I just going to let the years click away until I die and then everything will be awesome? The Apostle Paul talked about this when he wrote, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That's a great picture of how it is to live in this world, isn't it? It's like there are things that beat us up, that take a chunk out of us, and they drag us down. And yet, the Apostle Paul said, but inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. This kind of renewal is only found in Christ. There are joyful moments without Christ. There's love without Christ. There's hope, but it's all tied to what's happening, our circumstances. The joy, love, hope, and peace that's found in Christ is 100% reliable, steadfast, faithful. It doesn't change. And it's there available to us. It's a gift from God, the Apostle Paul wrote in another book. So what do you do with a gift like that if you find it under your tree? Well, I would say, first of all, you need to appropriate it, right? I mean, you want to leave something like that under the tree? Like, oh, that's a really nice gift. Where's the green beans? No. It's like, I want to rip that thing open. I want to get after that. You don't want to leave it under the tree. And then the question is, for every person here, do you have it? Do you have Christ in you, the hope of glory? Let's start there. I know that in a service like this, we've already kind of referred to it, like people bring family, you know, sometimes it's like to get the turkey later or whatever, you know, you're spending the night, you got to come. I do that to my family too. But you're not really a churchgoer, but I want to ask you, like, do you have Christ in you? And like, maybe you're like, no, I don't care, but like maybe what I've been talking about connects with you. Maybe you're like in the 14th round and you're pretty beat up and you're ready to cash it in. I just want to like challenge you. I mean, you could have a glorious moment sitting in your seat right there. Nobody could, you don't even have to close your eyes. You can just look forward and go, God, whatever he's talking about, I don't totally get it, but I'm in. No one would even know. That would be awesome. But most people, you know, like, it's a process for you. And I want to challenge you, if you're not a religious person, if what I'm saying to you is connecting in any way, I want to challenge you, like, go to church for the next couple months, to Easter. Make it a challenge, like, okay, I've never gone to church. There's some weird stuff out there, but I'm going to go till Easter. Don't be a creaster. You know what a creaster is? Someone who goes on Christmas and Easter, only your creaster. Check it out. And like the psalmist said, taste of the Lord and see if he's not good. For those of you who you're confident, you've stepped on the other side of faith, I would say that when you think about these gifts being under the tree, I would say to you, you have it, enjoy it. Drink it in. Get all of it you can. The host of heaven saying this at Jesus' birth. I've already read it, but I want to refer to it again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. What is it like to know that God's favor rests on you in spite of all the turmoil and all the challenges that you faced in this last year? God's favor rests on us. Enjoy it. And then the last thing I would say, if you've appropriated it and you're enjoying it, I would say share it. You don't hoard gifts like this. You know, faith, hope, peace, and love, they're not like a big screen TV. Let me explain it this way. Like, if I have a big screen TV and you don't, and I give you my big screen TV, I don't have a big screen TV anymore. But these gifts are not like that. They come from an inexhaustible source. And if I give it to you because it's bubbling out of me, I don't lose anything in the transaction. To give peace, love, and hope and joy to the world, it costs me nothing. In fact, I would say that it's possible that it might even make it grow faster. Anybody seen The Grinch? See, it's good theology, right? It's on TV, it must be true. I started my talk by asking you what you really wanted for Christmas. And I think that it's good that we contemplate that on a night like this. But I want to end my talk by asking you this question. What will we give to the world for Christmas? Because what we have, you can't hoard it. You got to give it away. So I say, speaking metaphorically here, that when we leave here, the people that are in, that you're up for it, I say we get on our stingrays and we ride up and down the street and into our work and we shift the gears and we show that thing off, and then someone's going to say, man, that's a cool bike. You want to ride? Yeah, get on the back. Hold on to the sissy bar behind me. And we let them experience what it's like to ride a stingray, to live a life of faith, because we're filled with love, joy, peace, and hope, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Let's pray.